After my opening remarks in prayer, having a problem? Check. You all right? Okay. You all heard me, right? Let me go back and say it again. I was asked by the Trump campaign to do the invocation for the great Trump rally here in northeastern PA, down at the arena at Wilkes-Barre. It was packed out. After my opening remarks and prayer, the musician who, after I prayed, played his guitar and sang the national anthem, later we were in the backstage waiting to meet the 45th president individually. He was going to give us each individual time, which he did, and get a picture with him and so forth. As we were waiting together backstage, I had the opportunity to speak with the musician, his wife, and he had two teenage boys. And the thing that stuck out to me, these guys, they were kind of tall and thin. I looked at them and I could see that they were hungry. And I said, "Are you hungry?" And they said, "Starving." And they had not been able to eat, as I had not been able to eat, and I was hungry myself because we were involved in a lot of things that we were doing there. And they said, "Yeah, we're looking forward to getting an opportunity to go to eat." And teenage boys, you know how they are. And I said, "Yeah, I can understand that fact." And I got into the scripture somehow in talking to them. It was an open door because I'd led in prayer, and a lot of people were respectful of that and wanted to talk to me. And it was an open door, and I said, "You know, you guys are hungry, but, you know, the Bible says in John chapter 4 that Jesus spoke about hunger," and I got into that with him. I discussed that. So I want to preach on that today. Would you turn to John chapter 4, verse 31 through 34, and I want to preach on this subject, "Are you hungry? Are you hungry?" And please look with me at verses 31 through 34. I'll read them, and you just follow in your copy of God's Word. It says, "In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' But he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that ye know not of.' Therefore said his disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought him aught to eat?' Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.'" So I want to take the words of the Lord Jesus, and I wish this morning to use them to preach to you a message called, "Are You Hungry?" And let me say, first of all, you should then be, if you're hungry, you should be if you're healthy. You should be hungry if you're healthy. Notice it says in John 4 here, "Then cometh to the city of Samaria," in verse 5, "Then cometh to the city of Samaria." He cometh to the city of Samaria, "and which is called Sychar, and near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And it says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And it says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, 'Give me to drink.' For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Now notice here that the Gospel of John is talking about Jesus, and Jesus is God in the flesh. But he is God in the flesh. He has a mortal body like you did, and like you do, I should say, and like I do, except no sin in his body. But it was subject to death. It was subject to getting tired. I don't know about you, but I was tired last night. When I hit the bed, I went out. I got up at 3 in the morning, and when I went to bed about 10 or 11, whenever it was, I was tired. Got up this morning about 3:30, and I'm sure I'll be tired tonight. But you know what? That helps me to know the Lord, the God of the whole creation that spoke everything into existence, he knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. And you need to understand he feels with you in what you feel. That's why he said to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I feel what my people are going through." Some of you are going through some hard times, and sometimes you feel hopeless, and sometimes, contrary to what the choir sang, you feel like giving up. And I want you to know you don't have to do that.
Right.
Jesus cares for you. You can cast every care upon him. But I'm thinking about the fact that notice here that our Lord has a mortal body, and notice here that he himself had to walk a lot. You know what? I went to Israel. I walked around Israel in the summertime. It's hot. You sweat. You get tired. And you get thirsty and you get hungry. Our Lord had to walk for many miles. He was walking from southern Israel all the way up to northern Israel. I know where that is. I was there. And he was there at a well called Jacob's Well. And he was thirsty and he wanted something to drink. And he saw a lady there come there with a jar, and she was going to get something to drink. And I can understand that because it was right at the noon hour, 6 hours noon hour. And by the way, his disciples had left to go get lunch and to get something to drink. And they were walking off to buy their lunch. But I'm thinking about this Trump rally, and these boys couldn't get anything to eat. And you know what? The Lord, he asked for something to drink, but he couldn't get anything to eat because of he had something more important that God wanted him to do. You know, yesterday I couldn't get something to eat for a while because I had something more, a number of things more important that God wanted me to do. And I want to say I was hungry. I know those boys got to a restaurant. They left earlier than I did, and they got to a restaurant. We left after everything was over, and we got to a buffet restaurant, and we buffeted our bodies. We didn't buffet our bodies. You know what that is. We buffeted our bodies, and we had a lot to eat, and it was good. It was delicious. The Lord wasn't against food, but he said that he had something more important. Now, I'm just saying that if you're healthy, you'll get hungry. If you're healthy, you'll get thirsty. If you've never got, anybody never gotten hungry or thirsty? Well, you're dead if you never gotten hungry or thirsty. So I don't think you're dead. And I was talking to Brother Jose Gonzalez the other day. He went on family vacation to North Carolina with a family. He got back. And I was talking to him, and I was asking him about, are you hungry? You know, how's your appetite? Because he has cancer, pancreatic cancer. How's your appetite? And he said, it's good. He said, I'm eating. He said, in fact, I gained 6 pounds. And I was like, yeah, that's good. So, you know, we need food, and it's great to have food. And I wonder, are you hungry this morning? You say, yeah, as soon as you get done preaching, I'm going to go eat. Well, a healthy hunger is a good thing. If you've been active, you've been working, and you've not eaten in a while, and you have a healthy appetite, that's a sign of health. And Jose needed to eat and have a healthy appetite so that he could gain weight, because they're giving him chemotherapy, unfortunately, and that takes a toll on your body. On the other hand, I'm thinking of a famous singer by the name of Karen Carpenter. And Karen Carpenter had one of the most God-given and beautiful singing voices ever bestowed on a person. And yet, Karen Carpenter kept starving herself and lost her regular appetite for food. And eventually, she was diagnosed with anorexia nervosa. And evidently, her heart gave out and she died from that. Now, some people with this disorder, they tend to take too many laxatives to lose weight. Some people with this disorder constantly exercise. They just can't stop exercising to keep losing weight. Some people with this disorder, they eat too little food to provide them with the health and strength that they need to function. And eventually, they look like people in a concentration camp. How many have ever seen somebody with that, that looked like that? Yeah. Therefore, if you are not hungry and you don't eat, then you are not a healthy person. I'm saying this morning, are you hungry? Well, if you're hungry, then you're going to eat and you're going to maintain a healthy body weight through proper eating and exercise. But I want to ask you on the other side, how many Americans are hungry all the time and eating all the time? You know, they just keep on eating. That one guy said, I'm on a seafood diet. I eat all I see. Some people are like that. And they get so big that they are medically diagnosed as being obese. Or maybe the medical diagnosis is morbidly obese. I remember I was about 38 years old. I went to the doctor, and the reading on the chart was morbidly obese. And I was like, I'm not that fat. But that was what they had in the chart. And I was offended, I want you to know. But the Bible diagnosis of this condition is true of many Americans and, sadly, many fundamental Baptists. And you say, well, what's the diagnosis on the chart of Baptists? Gluttonous. Gluttonous. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating. It just has to be balanced. Unfortunately, these people live to eat instead of eat to live. Are you hungry? Do you eat too much? Do you work and exercise too little? Is your God called the God of your belly? Are you hungry? You should be if you are healthy. But number two, are you hungry? You should be if you understand spiritual food now. Look at verse 32 and 33 of John 4, and I'll read as Jesus goes on to talk. And in verse 32, he said unto them, the disciples, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Now, what kind of meat do you think he was talking about? He said, I have meat to eat ye know not of. He was talking to his disciples. Now, remember, they were in training for 3.5 years of Jesus Bible College. That'd be a good Bible college, amen. I often wish I went to Bible college with Jack Hiles, but Jesus Bible College, that's the best. And they were there with him, but they had not yet had a course on spiritual food. And he taught them right as they went. I love the way he taught them. He's going to teach them about spiritual food. I hope you know about spiritual food. And notice the disciples didn't understand it at this point. And here's how they responded. The disciples, in verse 33, it says, therefore the disciples said one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? In other words, hey, did somebody sneak him a treat? Has he been eating some food? You know, when I was at the Trump rally, they sat me in the VIP place. I think they made a mistake because my wife should have been there with me. They didn't even have her in there. But they had me sitting right in the first place, in the pastor's place, right there where you could just reach up and touch the speaker as he's speaking. And I was one of the speakers. But I was right there. And my wife, though, they followed me in, my wife and my son and his two daughters, two of his daughters, and they got all this VIP access. You know, they got to go right in. They didn't have to wait in line. People were waiting in line till early morning. They went right in. They went right into the front, got sitting like right in the front of the seats. But they were behind me quite a bit, and I noticed that my granddaughters were getting hot dogs one after the other. You know, anytime they asked their dad for something, he was giving them treats. I wasn't eating. I was up front there. I had other things to do. I had bigger fish to fry. So I'm just saying that later on we went to a buffet meal and they ate again the buffet meal. But I think I was a lot hungrier than they were. I was really hungry. I mean, I don't know how many plates I ate, Patty, but it was a lot. But I'm not worried about it, because I have a plan. Now, I'm just saying to you that that's physical food. But how about spiritual food? Do you understand spiritual food? And I was teaching, actually talking to these teenage boys, the boys of the musician and his wife, and I was talking about John chapter 4 and this scripture to them, and I was telling them how I had been working with my uncle, And I said, I was about your age, you know, I was 17 years old, and I would work with plaster every day, mixing the mud and giving it to the plaster guys and dumping it on their trough so they could do the plastering. And I kept working. I'm a teenage guy, and I said, I know what it's like to be hungry. I'd come home ravenous appetite at night, and my grandmother would make me T-bone steaks, mashed potatoes and gravy. I mean, candied yams. I mean, she just had all kind of good food for me. Apple pie a la mode for dessert. I'm going to lose my congregation here if I keep talking like this. But it was good. I just ate that, and it was delicious. But I was telling them about Jesus and the spiritual food he gave them. And I said, you know what? You, just like your belly gets really hungry and you just want to eat. It's empty. Do you know there's a hollow place in your heart? And it's a God-shaped vacuum, and only Jesus Christ can fill it. Right. And I said, you know what? You're going to eat, you're going to be satisfied, and you're going to have a full belly, and you're going to be like, you won't need food. I said, I had never experienced my spirit being fed. My spirit was dead. And then as I read the Word of God, my spirit got hungry, and I realized I wasn't right with God. Have you ever been there where you hunger and thirst after righteousness? The Bible says, except your righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom. He said that the scribes and Pharisees, your righteousness is all on the outside, but inside you're like ravening wolves. You are lusting for things of the world and of the flesh that are against God, but you look so pretty on the outside, so nice on the outside. And they thought they were all right with God because of their religion. And I said to these guys, you know what? I lacked a relationship with Jesus Christ. I was not right with God. And he showed me that from the Bible. He showed me that my heart was bad, that my life was bad. I'm talking about my spiritual heart was bad. And it was not right with God. And that summer, my gram told me about Jesus and his dying on the cross, and how the curtain was ripped in the temple, and Jesus, when he died, opened the way for me to have a personal relationship with God. And you know what I said, guys? That's what filled that hollow place, that empty place inside of me. That's what you need.
Yes.
And you know what? That's what you need this morning if you didn't have that. And I believe a lot of believers, they've been filled, they've had that, they've received that eternal life. And what are you doing going back now to feed upon things that won't satisfy?
Right.
Jeremiah said, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out for themselves cisterns that can hold no water. I believe some Christians, you're not satisfied with prayer. You're not satisfied with sermons at church. You're not satisfied with serving the Lord in your Christian life. Why? Because you've got something else that's replacing God. It could be a relationship with a person. It could be food. It could be entertainment. It could be sports. I don't know what it is, but I know this. Anything that you try to replace God with, my friend, it will never satisfy. You. Are you hungry tonight, this morning, or whenever it is? Are you hungry? I'm hungry for God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, are you hungry? You should be hungry if you're healthy, and you should be if you understand spiritual food. And I told these guys, I said, you know what? Ever since I got a taste of Jesus and got my hunger satisfied by Jesus, I go back for more. You can go back for seconds. You can go back for thirds, fourths, fifths, or however many I went to the Chinese restaurant. You could keep going back. But listen to me, with the Lord, you'll keep hungering and wanting more and wanting more. And the good news is, you will be blessed and strengthened. I'm telling you, that's what God wants for you. And yet there are people, you've never entered into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you don't know him. The Bible says eternal life isn't just going to heaven. If you went to heaven, you would get bored. with the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. You'd get sick of it. What would be exciting to you is a personal relationship with the God of heaven. Amen. Jesus put it this way, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Listen, that's the greatest thing in the world. When I led in prayer at the Trump rally, I was able to talk about the God of creation. Amen. Made it all in 24/7. That's my God. The God who split the Red Sea. The God who raised Jesus from the dead. And I want to say to you, I know that God. I have a personal relationship with him. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know the Father. You know the Son. In fact, you know the whole family. You know the Holy Spirit too. You know them all. I'm just saying to you that are you hungry? Then you should be if you're a healthy believer, number one. And number two, you should be if you understand spiritual food. They didn't understand it. They were like, what's he talking about? It was all in the physical to them. And you should understand spiritual food. By the way, the best spiritual food I know of is right here, this King James Bible. Oh, man, I get up in the morning and I read that first before anything else. I have a certain scripture I read, and I read it this morning. I go and talk to the author. I talked to the author this morning as I went out in the mountains and walked and prayed. That's my favorite time, walking and talking with God. And I'm just saying, are you hungry? Now, they thought that he had between meals treats. They thought that, you know, somebody given him a, hey, if you go to Dunkin' Donuts before you go home to eat, you have a couple donuts, are you going to want to eat? Well, maybe some of you, but I'm just saying, that kills your appetite, right? And it's the same way. If you're doing things that are against God's word, you can't listen to the rock music of the world and the rock and roll and have it. You can't do that. Although I admit I did that YMCA. It's a good one. Just YMCA. But I'm just saying, you can't imbibe in the rock music of this world and then get the rock of ages music. Ask my wife. When we're traveling, I'll get the rock of ages music on. And I turn it on and I blare it over the speakers. I wish I knew, like the millennials, how to do more of it, but I do the best I can. And I'm just saying, you can't be eating at the devil's table and eating at the Lord's table. You go to the Catholic Church enough, you're going to get the wrong kind of stuff, the wrong kind of food. It's not going to fill you. Joe Sobotnick, he used to come to this church. He'd go to the Catholic Church for one service, then to our church. Finally, he said, hey, that's not giving me the right food. I'm not growing. I'm going to the Baptist church. It's giving me the pure word of God. It says in the Bible itself, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, grow. Let's see. We're still in Vacation Bible School. Let's see. Bull, pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. And you'll grow. And you'll grow. And you'll grow. Way up here. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray every day. Don't pray every day. Don't pray every day. I'm butchering this. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray every day. And you'll shrink. And you'll shrink. And you'll shrink. He said, and you'll need a shrink. Amen. And boy, that is true. This Bible will give you hope. So that you won't want to end it all. I mean, this Bible will give you what you need. And the question is, why are you feeding on the world's junk?
Right.
Paul put it this way. He said, to know Christ is glorious. He said, it's wonderful. He said, there's nothing like it. And it's so sad when a Christian who doesn't know the Lord goes back to dead religion, goes back to the things that it'll never satisfy. Are you hungry? Well, if you're hungry, then you should be, because it means you're healthy. You should be if you understand spiritual food. Number three, you should be if you can define spiritual food. And he defines it. Here's what it says. Go to verse 34, John 4. He says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." So when he says my meat, he's not talking about like steak or hamburger. He's talking about food. Meat is food here. Any kind of food. Vegetables, potatoes, any kind of food. He said, "My meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me." Now notice that it's not just to read about the will of God, not just to hear preachers. You know, I get sick of these Christians. They want to hear David Jeremiah. They want to hear Erwin Lutzer. They want to hear John MacArthur. They want to hear this one and that one. By the way, these guys are preaching from the New King James Bible, most of them. Right. And that has changes from the old King James. So I don't listen to preachers that preach from the new. I am not a new evangelical. That's I'm good. A fundamental preacher. Good. And so I want guys to preach from the old King James Bible. Yes. Amen. The whole wheat bread. I just do it. But even beyond that, there's a lot of truth these guys share. They do share a lot of truth. You know, they have the right God. And they have a lot of truth. But you know what? There are a lot of these Christians, they're like cafeteria Christians. They take what they want and leave it, and they don't do anything with it.
Good.
The Bible says that Jesus began, first of all, to do and then to teach.
Yep.
I like what Bob Gray Jr. says. You got to do first before you can teach. You see, if you're not doing it, you can't teach it. And a lot of these people, they're just sitting back. They're professional listeners. They go to lectures. They're like groupies, you know.
Yep.
There's guys that have been to Trump rallies. They've been to 248 Trump rallies.
Wow.
But I don't know. People get into that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying that you gotta not just be hearers of the word. You gotta do what it says, and so that's what the Lord said. He said to define spiritual food. He said, "My food, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me." Every day he's got things for you to do. You say, "How can I find out what I'm supposed to be doing? What's the will of God?" I have a copy of it right here. Okay? And it's like playing checkers. God makes a move. He gives you a truth. Will you act on it? Notice that Jimmy the Clown even knew that. I told him about Kamala. He acted on it and decided, "I'm not voting for her." And that was a wise choice because she's part of a demon rat thing. And doing horrible things that I never thought this country would come to. You say, "How can you preach like that?" Because I'm not preaching politics. This is against the Bible.
That's right.
I said it's against the Word of God. And when you put that into public policy now for the children and grandchildren, I'm gonna reprove it. And I'm saying she can get saved and get right with God and stop running for president and maybe be some husband's wife instead of, you know, whatever she is. I'm just saying, you say, "I don't like the way you're preaching. I don't like the way you're living. If you're going against this book here, you offend me. I love you. I won't hate you. But I will tell you the truth in love." And so I'm just saying that the Lord is saying, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Not only does he have a way for you to live, but he's got a work for you to do. And you say, "Well, what work was he doing when he's talking to these disciples?" You know the work that he was doing? He had just talked to a woman, and she had given him water, and then he told her about the living water, and he told her about himself and everything, and she got into religion with him. She said, well, we got a religion, the Jews, like where you come from, you guys got a religion. And he said, well, you know, the Jews have the right God and the right Bible. He told her that. He said, but and then she said, yeah, we know, we believe in a Messiah. He's going to come to the north and a temple up north. And he said, no, he didn't say no, but he just goes, I am the Messiah. You're looking at it. I'm the Messiah. And she's like, and the blinders came off her eyes, Awilda, and she saw Jesus. That's how Awilda's testimony is. The blinders came off her eyes when she heard the gospel, and she saw it's a relationship with the Lord. She was just under kind of a law. She was in a church, a Pentecostal church that had the rules right. She saw the rules, tried to be a good girl, tried to do it the right way, but she didn't know the Lord. And when she heard the gospel, the blinders just came off her eyes. Have you ever come to see it's Jesus in a personal? If you haven't, may God help you to see him and Amen. Accept him as your Savior this morning.
Amen.
Because that's how you get saved. There are a lot of people gone through our school, gone through our church. I'm convinced they never came to Jesus. They never saw him. And you got to see him by faith to believe. And they need to see him. And so the Lord talked about that to her. And what happened was she got it. And when she got it, guess what? She wanted to share it. If you really got saved, you got to want to share it with somebody. And I remember that. When I got saved, I wanted others to know about it. My wife got saved. You wanted your family to know about it. It's just normal if you get saved. So that's what happened. And all these guys were coming now. They were all coming over the hills, and you could see their white robes. And Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look. And all these men were coming from her village. And a lot of them may have had a relationship with her before she was saved. And she had an immoral life. And they were all coming. And Jesus said, look. He said, look to the fields. Don't say there's 4 months and then you're going to have the harvest at the end of summer. He said, look, right now the fields are white to harvest. In other words, the work that I'm doing is presenting myself to people so that they get a relationship with me and with the Father. And they're coming. They're coming now to hear the gospel while you guys are all caught up in food. Now, I love food, but it's not first place. Jesus is first place. And I can live without eating. I know people, they don't eat maybe 3 days a week or 2 days a week or 1 day a week or whatever it is. I know people like that. And you know what they've told me? They've said, I found out that when I have non-eat days, that life does not consist in the abundance of things I stick in my cheeks. Life consists in doing his will and accomplishing his work. Get a hold of that. It will dynamically transform your life, and it will give you a cause. You say, why didn't you eat for a long time yesterday? And then you went to that buffet and you really had a good time. I didn't eat because I had a cause, something above myself. I had an opportunity to witness to senators, to congresspeople, to people running for government. I had opportunity. I got to talk to people, well-known people, saw well-known people, famous people. All famous people are just people. They're just people, and they're in a different realm than you walk normally. That's all. And I'm just saying that a cause is something that makes you come outside of yourself, forget your selfish needs, and to live that cause. In other words, cause is the meat that Jesus had that the disciples didn't have. They didn't have his cause, and he wanted them to get it. Now, when I met Donald Trump, he's an imposing figure. And when I met him, he said, "Pastor, would you get some votes from your church for me?" You know why he said that to me? You know why he's interested in that? I'll tell you what his cause is, what makes him tick. He is a billionaire. He has all kind of money. He had his own jets he could have flying around, multiple houses. He could live that kind of lifestyle. But somewhere along the line, he realized that the America that he was given is going away. And it's being stolen. And he loves people. He loves his kids. He loves his grandkids. And he loves people. And he didn't want that to happen. So he started realizing more important than the cause, more important than my lifestyle that I had, and he was living a lifestyle of a rich billionaire playboy. He said, more important than that is to give my children and grandchildren, and your children and grandchildren, an America where they have the opportunity to have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, and not to be tyrannized over by tyrants. They have the right, you see, to their own property, and not to be forced to give it over by extreme taxation and letting people through the border until the fact that you can't feed them anymore, and then you have no food yourself. You start eating zoo animals like in Venezuela. And he had a guy from Venezuela explain that. I'm just saying he wants the vote because he's working to get in there so he can make a difference. And so he asked me for that. So if you haven't registered to vote, you're free to register for Kamala Harris right back there in that table. Or you can register to vote for Donald Trump. You make the decision based on the Word of God.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that's his cause that makes him go and go and go and go. I've never seen anything like it. Now, you and I should have the cause of Christ.
Yes.
His cause is a parallel line. And our cause is a different cause, but his cause can help our cause because he could give us an America where we could do it in freedom and not be thrown into jail for it. We could be having an America where we have the money to pay for more buses and send out more missionaries, where we have the opportunity to do it for our children and grandchildren. That's why his cause can help our cause, and it can work out. And the Bible even says to pray for those in authority, like I did, that we, God's people, might live peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. And that's what I'm praying for when I'm praying for these things. And so, how about you? Are you hungry for a cause for spiritual food? Are you thirsty for not only hearing it, but being a part of it? Have you received Jesus Christ, or are you just enjoying a Baptist religion, or enduring maybe saying a Baptist, or have you come to the place where you trusted Christ? I hope that you're hungry and that you eat Jesus and drink Jesus. And let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I want to close with prayer.